This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. As followers of Jesus Christ, we are a work in progress as the Holy Spirit transforms us into being devoted disciples for Him. Please stay with us today as we talk about how He does that in our new series entitled, Under Construction.
The follower of Jesus Christ is a person who's always under construction. We're going to take a look today and the next couple of Sundays at what God uses to build us up, so I hope you'll stay with us. Let's pray. Almighty and merciful God, we thank you this day for the many gifts you have given us. We especially give you thanks for the gift of life, the gift of eternal life through Jesus, and the gift of your Holy Spirit who breathes new life into our souls. You are truly a gracious and loving and faithful God, and we love you. Amen. We have two readings for today. The first one is from the book of Acts, chapter 2. It's the end of the Pentecost story, after 3,000 people surrendered their lives to Christ. Verse 42 says, "They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers." And our second reading are the words of Jesus, from chapter 8 of John's Gospel, verse 31. "Then Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, 'If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free.'" I live in Minnesota, and we jokingly say in Minnesota that there are actually only two seasons each year. One season is winter, and the other season is road construction. Man, do we have a lot of road construction going on around us right now. Winter did a real number on our roads this past year, and there are a lot of projects that are going on. Those construction zones can drive me crazy sometimes when I get stuck in them and slowed down when I'm trying to get to a destination, and they can be kind of an eyesore and a pain to go through. But boy, when they're completed, when that construction is done, wow. It's wonderful. You know, each of us in Jesus Christ, if you trust Jesus, are under construction. When you think of it, each one of us is a construction site. Jesus, when he called the disciples, said, "Follow me and I will make you into something. I'll make you into fishers of men and women." And thus began his discipling them. God has us under construction as followers of Jesus, and his idea is that we would be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ according to Scripture. We're all being worked on. Maybe you've seen the bumper sticker on the back of a car, "Please be patient with me. God isn't through with me yet." We're under construction. So, it's good to ask the question, well, what are the means then that God can use to build us up, to conform us into the image of his Son? And the answer to that is to be found in our first reading today. After Jesus ascended into heaven and the disciples were waiting in Jerusalem in the upper room as he had instructed them, it says they were filled with the Holy Spirit one day. The wind was blowing and there were tongues like fire over their heads, and they began to tell the story of Jesus down in the marketplace of Jerusalem in various languages. And finally, when people were confused and puzzled enough to wonder what's going on here, Peter spoke on behalf of them all and said, this is all about Jesus. He's the Son of God, the Messiah you were waiting for, but you crucified him. And the people were struck by this message, and they said, what are we supposed to do now? And Peter said, repent and believe this good news and be baptized, and you shall be saved. So that day, 3,000 people stepped up to be baptized. They said yes to Jesus. Now, can you imagine the disciples having a conversation with all these 3,000 standing around them after the baptism, asking, what are we supposed to do now? And then somebody said in the group, I imagine, well, Jesus did tell us that he wanted us to go make disciples. Maybe it's time to start building these people up and make them a disciple. And it says in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, so they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings. That word devoted simply means a steadfast, single-minded fidelity to a certain course of action. They were devoted to what? To the apostles' teaching. What would be the apostles' teachings? What would be the story of Jesus, wouldn't it? And the teachings of Jesus. The teachings about the kingdom of God and God's plans for everyone's life. Remember when Jesus rose from the dead, he met those disciples and says he took them through the whole of scriptures, led them through a Bible study, showing them how he fulfilled everything that had been spoken of in the Old Testament. So they probably took the people through the Old Testament as well, and how Jesus was the fulfillment. In other words, they devoted themselves to the Word of God. Why? Because they obviously remember Jesus saying to them early on, if you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. They obviously remembered that Jesus, after the Bible study, said, now go and share this message with other people. If you continue in my word, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Truth about what? Well, truth about ourselves. That all of us are created in the image of God, and he loves us, and he values us. But we're also fallen creatures of God. We're sinners. We have created a great distance between God and ourselves. The truth about God. This God is a God who loves us, but he's a God who doesn't turn his back on sin. It must be punished. But he loved us so much that he gave his only begotten Son to pay for our sin at the cross and set us free. Free from sin and death and the power of the devil who wants to mess with your life. If you continue in my word, you'll know the truth, Jesus said, and the truth will give you that kind of freedom. You see, there's a supernatural power in the word. It's the most important tool God uses to build us up. Our Bible, supernatural. The Holy Spirit is breathed into that word. And the Holy Spirit uses that word to grow us up and to make us into something beautiful and good for God's work and for God's glory. Gideon's International, leave the Bibles in the motel rooms. They're built upon this belief in the supernatural power of God's word to transform. We just had a Gideon representative out at our church recently who shared a couple of glorious stories about two individuals whose lives they saw saved because they had picked up one of those Gideon Bibles in a motel room and one in a prison. And it turned them around and got them on the road to Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Paul talks of the power and purpose of God's word when he writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy, as he's encouraging Pastor Tim to keep teaching that word of God. He said, all scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, so that everyone who belongs to God might be proficient, equipped for every good work. Did you catch that? It's inspired by God. Literally, it's God breathed. It's alive. Martin Luther one time said, the Bible's alive. It speaks to me. It has feet. It runs after me. It has hands. It lays hold of me. And the purpose of it is not simply to enable us to get a good score on an exam that'll get us into heaven or to impress other people with our knowledge. It's to equip us to be proficient and equipped for every good work for the kingdom of God. Its purpose is to transform us into the kind of people from whom goodness flows like an unending stream of refreshing water. Its purpose is to conform us into the image of Jesus Christ. And what I've discovered in my own walk with Jesus, as I get into the Word gets into me. And when the Word gets into me, all kinds of good stuff begins to happen. Yeah, we want to get into the Word in order that the Word might get into us. We get closer to God that way. And you start looking more like Jesus, and sounding and acting like him, without even having to think about it. And you have an impact on the lives of those around you in a positive way. Those first Christians, you know, got into the Word, and the Word got into them. And it says at the end of this little passage, which I didn't read, it says, and the Lord added to their number daily. Their testimony, their witness, their lives reflected the glory and love of Jesus, and others wanted that. The Word can do that in a person's life. I love the short story written back in 1850 by Nathaniel Hawthorne called The Great Stone Face, which is a story of a boy named Ernest who gazed upon a face-like rock formation that looked over their community. Legend foretold that the greatest and noblest person would look exactly like the formation and would one day show up. Obsessed with his meditation and about this legend and studying the great stone face each day, Ernest eventually, by the end of the story, began to reflect the image of the mountain. So it is with us. The more we gaze upon God's majesty in Scripture and meditate upon Jesus Christ and obey his truth, the more we become renewed, transformed into the likeness of Jesus Christ. So, what's it look like to get into the Word, to devote ourselves to it? Well, of course, I'm going to tell you, go to church and tune into programs like this where you get the Word. But I want to talk to you about your personal devotional life today. I believe that there's a real great thing to be gained in personally reading Scripture on your own. Develop the habit of doing that. Some people struggle with trying to read. I know of people who have tried to read their way through the Bible, and they get to Genesis 5 with all the genealogies and they give up. So how does one get into Scripture and reading it? There's a fellow named N.T. Wright that I greatly admire, wonderful biblical theologian. And I came across a little film clip of his where he was asked about, how do I read the Bible? First of all, he jokingly said, well, read it frequently and read it reflectively. But then he said, no, seriously, he said, it's important to remember when we go to read the Bible that the Bible was really written not to be read in 10 verses at a time, little segments, but to be read as a whole story. So his advice was, take one of the Gospels, he said, like John, and sit down and read it like you'd read a novel. Take you about 2 hours. And just let it overflow you with the story itself. We did that with my men's group last spring. We read through the Gospel of Mark before we came together for our first sitting, and everyone was so amazed at the things they discovered about Jesus. They'd never sat down and read a gospel in one sitting. They enjoyed it. Wright says also, then pick a letter of the Bible, Philippians, for instance, and just read it in one sitting like you'd read a letter from someone. And then you can go back and ask questions of it and so on and take it apart a little bit at a time and reflect on it. But that's a way to get started. I encourage you, try it. Read through the Gospel of Mark in one sitting. You'll be amazed. Vernon Grounds, who was a great radio preacher years ago, gives five practical suggestions for reading God's Word. He says, read God's Word, first of all, habitually. Make yourself do it every day. Read God's Word reflectively. Slow down. The idea isn't to get through the Word. The idea is to get the Word through you. Read it prayerfully. Lord, show me what you want me to see today in our time together in your Word. And read believingly. Lord, I believe your Word is truth, and it makes my life work. And read it obediently. I'm ready to obey it, Lord, and to work it in my life. That's how we begin to grow in our personal reading and study of Scripture. Another thing that I found helpful is being part of a group or working with a partner sometimes. Take a book of the Bible and read it together, and then be a group. Talk about your discoveries. Hold yourselves accountable. Ask questions of each other's life and how that Word is working in each life. You know, God loves it when we treasure His Word and we put it to work in our lives. That's the appeal of this message, to love your Bible that God has given you. Let it be your authority in matters of faith and life. Last year, my predecessor, Pastor Larson, his wife passed away, Eunice, who I loved dearly. And when we were cleaning out her belongings, a treasure that we found was her Bible. That Bible was so beaten up, the binding was held together by duct tape. It was all written on in the covers and inside and underlined and highlighted, and there were notes, and it was just wonderful to look through it. And I thought, what a testimony to her children and to her grandchildren of how important the Word of God was in her life and made her what she was, which was a real loving saint. She wore her Bible out. And I thought to myself when I saw that, that's what I want to do. I want to be a person known as one who wore his Bible out. I encourage you to join me in that endeavor. Let's wear out our Bibles. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious God, we want to be people of your Word, because we believe the truth does set us free. But you know how undisciplined we can be. So help us to be disciplined in opening it, reading it, and studying it on a daily basis. We know we need it in our lives in order to grow closer to you. In Jesus' name we ask your help. Amen. Now as you go on your way, may Christ go with you. May he go before you to show you the way, behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over, and within you to give you his peace. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. May today's message help you in your endeavor to wear out your Bible as you explore its wealth. A memorial gift is a meaningful way to remember a loved one. These gifts can be given in any amount to commemorate the life of someone special while furthering the mission of Christian Crusaders to proclaim the gospel. Honorarium gifts are also a thoughtful way to celebrate someone still in your life. Please send your memorial and honorarium gifts to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Now, if you enjoyed today's message and would like to hear it again, be sure to check out our webpage, ChristianCrusaders.org. You can find both audio and printed versions of the program on our homepage, as well as messages from past broadcasts. Our website address is ChristianCrusaders.org. CDs and printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. However, a gift of any amount to help cover production and mailing costs is always appreciated. Please address your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. We are happy you are able to worship with us today and pray that you'll join us again next Sunday on this station. Conducting our service was the Reverend Steve Kramer, Senior Pastor of Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church in Afton, Minnesota, and radio speaker on Christian Crusaders, now in its 78th year of continuous Sunday worship broadcasting.